7:08. Mike Flowers will be doing the invocation, and Jessica Shoemaker will be doing the flag salute. Oh, wait, just before we... Is there anybody in the audience before we start who would like to do the invocation?
Or the flag salute.
Or the kids.
Come on, somebody has to at least want to do the flag salute.
Okay, then it'll be Mike Flowers will be doing the invocation, and Jessica Shoemaker will be doing the flag salute.
Dear grace and heavenly Father, Lord, we come tonight, Lord, just praise you and thank you, Lord God, just for who you are. Lord God, I ask you just, Lord, guide us, protect us, Lord God. Forgive us all for all of our sins and evils. But most of all, Lord God, have your way in our lives. Use us for thy glory. Lord God, we just pray during this time, Lord God, that you continue to bring this nation together as a whole, as one, Lord God. Lead us and guide us down that path of righteousness in thy name's sake. We pray for our students. We pray for this board. Lord God, we pray for the district as a whole. And Lord God, we pray for our community, Lord God. Continue to use our students in a great and mighty way. We love you and we praise you. We thank you in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Flowers. Here.
Present.
Here.
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 Thank you. That takes us to the closed session. We are going to be taking the vote out in open session. With regard to the recommendations to expel student number 210856 for violation of Education Code Section 48915C3, will someone move this item?
I'll move.
Jessica Shoemaker has moved it, and Michael Flowers has seconded it. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That brings us to our presentations. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Polis. I had the pleasure of going to the Edgewood High School play of Bye Bye Birdie. And I will tell you, I just have to share this with the students who are in the room. As a site administrator, it never ceased to amaze me. I would see the kids on a day-to-day basis, and you kind of look like you. But then I would go to like a homecoming or a prom, and all I saw was adults, young adults. It's just amazing. So when you all walked in, I kept seeing you in costume. So I envisioned you all as these young adults in the play, and yet here you are, our students, which is just something really amazing to see. So I've asked, and we were very honored that the cast would come and do a little vignette for us on the play Bye Bye Birdie. I don't know if Diane, do you want to do an introduction before we go? It always happens. So whoever's up there is cursed, so no worries. Yes. Did we do a test? Yeah. So we'd like to have you all gather up in the front. We're going to do a big team picture with our board president. So let's come on down.
Hi, Kevin. You did a great job.
Can we have this row starting with Jane? Would you go behind the little one? Can we have the little one step forward? And Jane can start with
Oh, the little ones.
There you go. Can you move down a little bit more? Like right here.
We wanted to present this to all of you for the outstanding performance. And some of you I have seen from ninth grade to seniors. And I've seen you progress in the different plays that you've been in. So you younger ones, have a lot. Now I've seen you at the beginning, and I expect to see you in all the plays every year. And you have some really big shoes to fill. And as you can see, so I want just seeing you blossom into the young women you are and young men from the beginning is fabulous. So I want to add that goes to their teacher. So thank you so much.
Dr. Henman?
President Polis, we had another item I just want to address quickly. This was the night we were going to recognize our bond committee, and obviously I will brag about them at our next board meeting. Unfortunately, Ms. Arredondo couldn't be here, who was the chair of the committee. Mm. However, we want all the members to be here so we can really, really celebrate their effort. As you know, our Measure ES passed at 74%. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal vote of confidence of our community and the board and the direction we're going in. And hopefully in several months to come, there'll be other type of venues our kids can perform in other than maybe a cafeterium. But we'll see. That's yet to be decided. But we're very excited about the future, and we'll talk much more about that when the time comes.
We look forward to thanking them for their hard work. So that brings us to the hearing session, the board president's report. I got a wonderful email from Jimmy Weldon. He was a 93-year-old from World War II who was at the Veterans Day celebration. And he was so honored to be invited. And he said the students did an excellent job. I got a call that morning that my little one was sick, so I missed it. But I heard marvelous things about it, but from him. And the email he sent was so flattering to all of you, and that he was so honored to be a part of it. And he said he got to sit in the front row with all the young folks. So thank you, everybody, who put that on. Special Ed put on another PAC meeting, and what they're trying to do to reach out for families is fantastic. And I know it takes a long time to get these things off the ground, but their persistence in trying to get parents out there and trying to find innovative ways to reach special education parents is phenomenal. So I just had to say that. The Parents Place had its transition conference, and that's going from special ed students who are leaving school and going transitioning into adulthood. And I, Coronado will probably say some things about that. But I just want to say a special thank you because I had the opportunity to attend and to see not only the students' hard work, but the staff's hard work to make that successful. So thank you, everyone who stepped in and supported the Parents' Place in the Parents' Place supporting parents in trying to make that difficult transition from school to adulthood. Is there anybody else who would like to speak at this time? Mr. Miranda Jimenez.
Thank you. I was looking at my list. Many good things happening in our district. Number one, I want to thank West Covina High School and the Red Ribbon Rally. Excellent, well done, well organized. It was a lot of fun to see the community come together and to see it so comprehensive. So thank you to West Covina and to Edgewood. See, Dr. Maddox just left. I know I saw the cheerleaders there. I saw the support. I saw the students with the Edgewood shirts walking around. So I really want to thank the staff because that was a big undertaking for our community. PSAT, again, I want to thank the staff and Dr. Hinman. My daughter was part of taking the PSAT, but to see all the students and the energy that went into it, and I think three-quarters of the school, right, was taking the test that day, and the seniors were talking about graduation. So I was so proud of us, and as I go to and speak to other districts and speak with friends, that we've made this a priority. Everyone is always so impressed that we're paying for this. So, and I constantly recommend to people, do it in your district. So I want to thank everyone for doing such a successful job on that. I did take Mr. Solis up on his Dia de los Muertos invitation that he gave to the board, and what a beautiful job the ofrendas were at over at Olvera Street. So I encouraged him to send the pictures to Dr. Duncan and Ms. Knutson to send on to the board because my camera's a flip phone and I can't take photos. So, but the students were so excited, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students from a variety of school districts there, and the students were in awe with the beauty and the memory, and there was a lot of film crew, and so it was so nicely done. I'm so glad that I went, and I'm so glad that the district went ahead and approved the trip, because the students were ecstatic, and they were so adorably cute, all those little middle schoolers. The Kaiser Community Assessment Meeting, I know that Mr. Flowers and I attended that, and Kaiser does this really wonderful offering to the community. They're required by the federal government every 3 years, every nonprofit health organization is required by the federal government to maintain their 501c3 status to do a community assessment meeting. So it happens nationally. It's not just here in the San Gabriel Valley. And they collect data, and then from that, they have to submit it to the IRS to say, these are our priorities that we have seen that's happening in our community with lots of data to back that up. And if they decide not to take something on, they have to justify that to the IRS. Well, what Kaiser and Citrus Valley Health does is they make that data available to us. And why that's so important is if we want to go for any grants, we have data to back up an initiative that we're going to take on, maybe childhood obesity or diabetes or getting kids fit. I know I was sitting with the superintendent, Mr. Flowers, and I, and he was so excited about getting his flash stick because he says we use it in our preschool program. We use it to justify funding on some of the health that we're taking on with the preschoolers. So it's a great opportunity. I know I turned over the flash stick and all the data over to Ms. Knutson and her staff. So excellent job that Kaiser did. And the data is also not just the San Gabriel Valley, but they compare it to the county. So you have this comparison as, again, you're trying to write grants and justify the work that you're going to do as a district. We just saw Bye Bye Birdie. The students did an amazing job. I was so impressed and so pleased. I took my daughter Carlene with me. We thoroughly loved every moment of it. And I'm always so impressed how they can convert that cafeteria and make it feel like it is you're in a theater. So hats off to Edgewood. And I was pleased to see both the middle and the high school working together, as well as there was some students. I know Ms. Dew told me her daughter was in the production, and she's our Mandarin teacher. And she said her daughter was so excited. Her daughter wants to come to Edgewood so badly. So I tried to convince Ms. Duda, let's make that happen. Even though they live in Hacienda La Puente, I said, let's make that happen. Sorry. So no, they got to come here. I want to thank the staff also again, Ms. Knudsen and Dr. Coghlan, for the support that I got on Election Day. It was so wonderful to see the community come in and be a part and see our district as well as vote. So I want to thank you. It was an incredibly busy day, and I know the volunteers who were there working the precinct were very grateful for the water and the soda and the support that we got. So thank you. And I've heard from people in the community, they love going to their neighborhood school. I know the county wants to change this. They want to create mega centers. And when you look at the seniors, they love coming to the schools. They love the memories. They love reliving West Covina. So I want to thank the district for that support. And the Veterans Day ceremony, just the talk of the town, to hear people from Hearst Ranch, to hear people from service communities talk about, did you go, and you need to come, and you're going to get acknowledged. It's such a beautiful ceremony. So, again, hats off to West Covina and Captain Acuña Perez for taking that on. He just took it to a whole other level when he took it over. So very, very well done. Thank you.
Good evening. I just have a couple items. One, it was my first time attending the Veterans Day ceremony, and it was a great experience. Never seen anything like that at a high school. So great job, Dr. Glass, and for, like Eileen said, Mr. Acuña Perez. It was an honor to be there. Also, I was able to visit Edgewood during their Dia de los Muertos event. And again, they took it to another level, too, with some amazing altars and performances. So it was a great event. I also want to commend any principal that's here for completing their school plan. I know that's a difficult task and very time-consuming, but again, great job on getting that done. I've got 20-something more to read or to skim. Also, for our fall sports that made it to CIF, you know, congratulations, Dr. Glass, with football and volleyball. You know, football put on. I wasn't able to go, but when I saw that score against a really tough team to lose by one, that says something about the team. So great job. And lastly, I just want to explain this mustache. It's not my normal, but, you know, November is Movember for men's health. And, you know, so to all the men that are here, you know, we oftentimes don't visit a doctor until we're near death. But it's really important that we be proactive about our health and get routine checkups, especially as you get older, things break down and we don't recoup like we used to. So, you know, make sure you take care of yourself because I'm sure there's people that depend on you. So thank you.
Mr. Flowers?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I also like to speak on behalf of the Red Ribbon Rally. And great thanks to Dr. Glass, you know, for the West Covina High School for allowing the, which we hosted a great event. And Mr. Travatore, he's a part of our organization also. So we did a great job. Dr. Glass, your students and everyone, it was on point. It really was on point. We had a great Red Ribbon Rally. We're looking forward to hosting it again next year at West Covina High School. And I know it's going to be even grander next year. Also, I'd like to talk about the play. I can go to the play. I look it up and get at intermission. I see my superintendent sitting in the back. So him and I sat down. We had intermission. We talked 15 minutes, sat down. We truly, truly enjoyed the play. And also on Veterans Day at the school, man, it was awesome to see Mr. Weldon, the older guy, get up and speak like Donald. You know, I can't get him, but he can speak like Donald Duck. Quack like don't. It was awesome, but as Captain Perez, you know, it's an honor for us to have him in that program. Me, as a veteran myself, to see what he's doing to those young students, it's just truly amazing, and it blesses my heart to see what he's doing. And at City Hall, first of all, I'd like to take my hats off for all the veterans, you know, for they put themselves on the line for all of us so we can have a better place in the office to live. But it was at City Hall they did a great thing. They had a great ceremony also, you know. One of my good friends, Mr. Lloyd, our councilman, got up and spoke. Johnson got up and spoke on behalf. I was very surprised to hear him speak, and he did a wonderful job. And last but not least, I'd like to thank I won't talk too much on it, but the ES Bund, I'd like to thank, you know, those on the committee for doing a great job. I just speak a little bit like that in the room. I just like to thank Mr. Shoemaker for what he's done. I'll speak more on the next time. And Dr. Robb, I'll speak more. But Dr. Robb was a man. If the board only knew what you had done, they would be just surprised. But thank God for this board for allowing us to put this measure on them. So I'd like to give my board a hand personally. Thank you, guys. It's for the betterment of our students and our district. That's what we're about. It's all about what can we do to make things better for our students. And they come first. And so saying that, and it was a fun night on the ES, waiting around for the results to come in. Man, it was nerve-wracking. And this superintendent of ours, I don't know what he was biting his fingernails. I did. Just sitting around waiting. But it was a fun night also, sitting around. Even my board, Jessica Shoemaker, came by and sat around and I ain't going to tell you what we did that night, but we had some fun. Well, we might have had a few, you know.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. That's right. Well, I'm just speaking for myself now. But anyway, that's all I have to say, but I just thank God that we do have our bond, and so we're going to see great things, which you already do see great things, but even greater things in our district.
The student representative reports.
Good evening, board members, Superintendent Hinman, cabinet members, and community. Girls basketball held their annual Powder Puff game on Thursday. We had a great turnout from the student body and the community. We all had a great time hanging out with friends and cheering on our fellow peers. Edgewood ASB leadership had their annual Miramonte League Symposium last Thursday. We met with other ASB teams and discussed ideas and leadership goals for our league. Our dodgeball tournament will be this Friday at the gym. I welcome the community and the board to come and join us for this fun-filled event. Also on Friday, the 18th through the 22nd, Travel Club will be having their California college trip to various public and private universities from all over the state. We will be having our Edgewood tours tomorrow and the last one of the semester on December 7th. Lastly, I would like to recognize Diani Heredia Urias, who was the first senior of the class of 2017 who received her college acceptance to Richmond, the American International University in London. Wow. We are so proud of her accomplishments and wish her the best of luck. She will be visiting the university during Thanksgiving break before she makes her final decision.
Good evening, board members, district employees, and community members. We're excited to share that our basketball team was victorious over Whitcomb High School this past week. It is the beginning of the season, and we are off to a great start. We would also like to share that our acceptance campaign can be viewed online on our school website at Coronado. All teachers, the importance of creating an atmosphere that promotes acceptance and welcomes everyone. As part of the leadership class, we created Cougar character traits and displayed them in the classrooms. Our upcoming cultural connection study trip will be this Friday, November 18th, to the Museum of Tolerance, which will align with our English, art, and social science lessons that teachers have been implementing in their classrooms. Moreover, all students are eager to visit the museum and meet a Holocaust survivor. As we enter the 14th week of school and our third monthly credit check, Coronado is proud to report that students have earned an estimate of 750 credits school-wide since the beginning of this school year. Thank you.
Wow.
Good evening, members of the board, Madam President, Dr. Hinman, and distinguished guests. So three of our teams made it to CIF, football, boys cross country, and volleyball. Sadly, football took a loss on Friday, 41-42, but we are also proud of them for fighting so hard. And our girls volleyball team made it to the second round of CIF, and they also made it pretty far, and we're proud of them. And boys cross country placed 16th on Saturday. And so that ends their career too. But we're also proud of them. And we'd also like to recognize our Taylor Valenzuela. She was undefeated in her season and is the Hacienda League champ for the third time in tennis. And she will be advancing to CIF, and she is yet to play next week. And our AFJRTC held their annual Veterans Day Assembly, and I saw a great handful of you there, so thank you for attending. And we were glad to recognize all the veterans. It was quite an amazing event. This week, our link crew is celebrating the 300-plus freshmen who did not receive any D's or F this past grading period. And so that's a great number, and we're proud of the class of 2020 for their accomplishments. Our Renaissance organization is holding their first collegiate rally this Friday, and we're recognizing all the Bulldogs who excel academically. And it's in the morning, and I hope you all received an invite. Did you? Well, you are invited to attend. We sent out in the email, but I'm not sure. So it starts at 10 a.m., and you are all invited to attend. And we are in full rally prep mode this week. Our Interact Canned Food Drive is running until this Thursday, and our National Honor Society is also holding a gene drive to donate to teenagers that are in need. So at this time, it's a great week for our school to come together in order to give back to the community. Seniors are finishing their UC and CSU applications, which are due in 2 weeks. And our counselors have been available, offering their time during lunch and after school, and readily available to help us with anything that we need. So we are greatly appreciative. And our winter choir concert is coming up. It's on December 8th, 7 p.m., Bethany Church, and it's going to be a great show. So thank you.
Before we do the informal report, I was asked by Ms. Gear from Merlinda if anybody in the audience or that's on the dais has extra hotel toiletries. They're giving them to the homeless. They're going to be delivering them on Thanksgiving. So if you have anything, if you can get them to, and they have boxes set up in their cafeteria. So you, there's other things too, but she was thinking that there might be those of us who have a bag of toiletries that need a new home, and that they're in need of that, and they will definitely utilize it in their day of service. So, Dr. Henman.
For either Dr. Glass or Crystal. You're going to have two rallies on Friday for
yes,
Renaissance?
Yes, a double rally.
What time does the second one start?
It'll start roughly an hour after the first one begins.
Okay, so about 11?
About 11.
Okay, I will be there at that one. Thank you.
Thank you, President Paulus. Mr. Seaman.
I don't have a report for this evening.
Thank you. Dr. Coghlan.
I will save my report for the Measure ES presentation.
Ms. Knudsen.
Well, I have a report. I want to share with the board that we will be starting a pilot after-school program at Hollencrest. Sometime in December. We're sending the notices out to the families in early December. We're working with the company Student Success Institute, and it'll be modeled a little bit like the ACES program that the children are used to, where it has a homework component, science, physical activity, snack. And what we're doing is over the Christmas break, the company is going to be offering a free program on the days that school is out, from 8 to 3 for families to try it out. And then after that, if they'd like to sign up to participate, they'll be offered from after school hours till 6 p.m. for a fee of approximately $10 per afternoon session. So it's a pilot for this year. It's just something that we're trying, but we wanted to inform you that that will be starting here momentarily. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board, I would ask that you bear with me. I have more items than usual. But I have to ask Ms. Beltran a question before you leave. Did I hear you say you're celebrating 300 freshmen with no D's or F's?
Yes.
Okay, you need to recheck your data because that can't be right. Oh. It just never happens. Freshman is by far the hardest year of a high school career. Highest dropout rate of any class in the country is the freshman year. And if you've actually achieved that, Dr. Glass, you and your staff, I major congratulations. That's a big deal. So you should really be proud of that, and also the proud of the fact that you're celebrating that. There's a novel idea.
Yeah, I spoke with our Link Crew president, and that's what they said they were looking at, around 300.
Wow, so. That's awesome. West Covina, I'll tell you. Well done. Okay, so thank you. We have a special guest in the audience. I was going to just introduce her and why she's here, but I'm going to have her do it herself. Shannon Martin, Walnut Grove ASB director and band. And would you just, Shannon, stand up really quick and tell us why you're here. Thank you and welcome. I wish more of our students would come and observe and be part of their civic responsibility and duty. And obviously, you notice we have student reps, so boys and girls, young men and women, someday be a board member, something to look forward to. I just want to touch briefly. You know, you've touched on Jimmy Weldon. Any time any of us have an opportunity to enter into a dialogue with a World War II vet, you need to do it. The cold, hard reality is they're not going to be around much longer. And the opportunity to speak with those individuals that served our country is just a very rare opportunity. It's getting rarer and rarer by the year. And I will say, you know, the students didn't know Jimmy Weldon, but when he did his Zacky Duck routine, you know, are you my mama thing, and I like a duck, I should have Trustee Flowers do it. Yeah, they all recognized it. He shared with me, or shared with the crowd, that he's the last living member of the Yogi Bear series that was the old cartoon that was on. So if you Google him, Jimmy Weldon, you can actually hear him do his thing. So really fascinating. The other two things, I have a request come down from Sacramento for our board that if you would contact any legislators that your colleagues with, friends with, or know on any kind of personal level or not, encourage them to support any potential upcoming district of choice legislation. The other piece is they're asking you to support any potential legislation that's on the governor's budget to include district of choice. That's a possibility, not something they want you to actively pursue, but it is okay for the legislators to know that if that were to happen, it would be nice if they would support that amendment to the budget from Governor Brown. But by all means, if you have a legislator you're in contact with, they're looking for someone who's willing to co-author the legislation and then, of course, support the legislation as well. We are continuing that process, and I will keep you informed. The other is, and I apologize for bringing this to you and taking our board time to do it, but there's a timeline on this, and there's no way around it. I'm going to be asking for board consensus on this item. Normally, I wouldn't bring something that that's not agendized, but this is something that the city of West Covina is planning on applying for on Thursday. So, and they're asking the board to support this program. I'm going to read you the paragraph. The city of West Covina is applying for a Southern California Association of Governments 2016 Sustainability Planning Grant. If awarded, the grant will fund the preparation of a cohesive bicycle master plan with a pedestrian element. This will be used as a planning roadmap to identify capital projects. The plan will help to fill in the gaps of the current safe routes to school plan and help increase the safety of bicyclists and pedestrians in the city. If the school district supports this project, can you please send a letter of support? I have supplied a draft letter for your convenience. We would like to attach the letter to the grant application. The grant application will be submitted on the morning of Thursday, November 17th. We would appreciate any support with the signed letter. They have asked me to sign this. I support signing it, but I would not do so. This is has to be a board supported grant. So I'm not taking a vote. I'm just looking for consensus, and I will turn it over to you, President Polis.
I would feel more comfortable if anyone had any real concerns. to talk to him, but if there's a consensus, just a little nod, but if you had some concerns, to call Dr. Henman for and let him know.
Yeah.
Well, since it's not agenda.
I don't want to do it privately if this, if by sending a consensus letter out. I do have a concern, and the concern is we don't know what the grant says. We don't know what the impact is to the city's general budget and what they will be taking money from. Is it matching money? Any details about it. So, no, I do not want to sign a letter in support unless they want to give us details on the grant because, yes, bicycle line sound great, safe school areas, filling gaps. But the reason there's gaps is because the city has a bit of a financial problem. And so if it comes for me, our city putting in more bicycle lanes or replenishing the police department that's still down 20 officers, I want money going towards our police department.
What's the name of the grant again?
It is the Southern California Association of Governments 2016 Sustainability Planning Grant. I literally received this at 2:56 today.
Due on Thursday.
Due on Thursday.
Which kind of reiterates my point about management and giving us the detail to make an informed decision.
Let me ask the board, would you like to receive further information if it can be provided tomorrow?
Yes.
But then I don't know how. It's never going to be agendized.
It will not be agendized. And I will
so
just,
then, okay.
So I will send you further information, and I will just tell you if I don't, if once you receive the information, if I don't receive feedback, my plan is to put this on letterhead, sign it, and give it to the city.
Okay, so with the information you currently have, how will this benefit our students? Because our job is to look out for our students and that reside in our community. So how would this benefit them?
It is. It's basically, I think the emphasis on our school district is providing safer bike paths for our students. There will be a request from us to help provide them with the amount of students that are riding bikes, what path they take, and use that information to help design this master plan. I do not apologize because I just got this today. I don't have much more information than that. So, again, I agree with Trustee Shoemaker. On the surface, it's good for kids, good for the community, safe bike paths. On the surface, I see that.
And is it bike paths to school?
It's throughout the entire city. It would not be just limited to school.
Because I do see students that bike to school. Yeah.
Right.
Especially down Cameron.
If there were safe routes for transporting back and forth to school.
No, this would be an entire city master plan.
It would be recreational.
All of the above.
Because there's a big difference in between a safe path to school and recreational.
I will actually send you this letter that I have. Unless you would like me to read it all the way through. It does have a lot of bullet points, but I haven't done the diagnostic on it. So
we're looking forward to that email, and we can look at it tomorrow and email the concerns. We just can't. Since it won't be agendized, we don't have to worry about work.
Yep, very good.
The Brown Act.
And I will... That concludes my comments. Again, I apologize for that, but again, not being agendized, we didn't see really any other way to do it, and they're going to file it on Tuesday.
President Poulos, the website is www.scag.ca.gov if anybody wants to take a look at the website.
What is it again?
www.scag.ca.gov.
And I will include that as well.
Yeah. Okay.
If you Google it, it's the first item.
Yeah.
But again, what I'm looking for is detail from the impact
from the
to our city's budget, our plan, the plans the city already has in place, what it's going to fill, and what benefit it actually gives to our students. Because quite frankly, yes.
Yeah.
Bike lanes sound great. What's even better is cops by schools when students are coming in and out, getting people speeding, double parking, running through crosswalks when students are in it.
Okay.
This brings us to the items from the floor. Ms. Kelly.
Okay, so, excuse me. So, good evening. I'm Andrew Sundstrom. I'm the labor relations rep that works with the classified staff here in West Covina Unified School District. As you are aware, we are at impasse in our negotiations. And currently, we were not able to make it through mediation. I had hoped that we could. However, we were not. And now we are going to what is called fact-finding. Fact-finding is essentially where the district picks an individual, CSEA picks an individual. Those two can select a neutral chair to that board, and then Public Employee Relations Board can supply a person, we put on our cases before them, and then they render a advisory decision to the governing board. We recently pooled our membership, and I'm encouraged that 95% of our folks say that they support the team's decision to keep moving forward in regards to this impasse. We're not backing down. I've come before you on multiple occasions and have asked for your support, to which it appears that you're not going to give it to us. So with that, I ask you this. Why do you value classified so less than teachers as to not grant their request to be treated the same as teachers with regards to arbitration? I'm asking the question, so I know you may not.
You know this isn't a give and take, so if you read that little blurb, that isn't something we do. And since we're in active negotiation, we definitely could not do that because we have a negotiating team that does that. But we are listening, and that's what this portion is for. And I think you can see that we're all actively listening to you, okay. And we can all see the signs.
So, with that, I mean, I know you can't, so you can't answer that question. Then maybe after, when you go and visit sites and, you know, take a picture with one of our classified employees or pat them on the back, answer that question for them. Just tell them, you know. And if you don't think that they deserve it, tell them, okay? Be honest. Be upfront. But I'm telling you this, we're not going to back down. I mean, even if we go to fact-finding and the board decides that they're not going to take the advice of the advisory the fact-finding panel and the district imposes the last, best, and final, it's going to be a contract that isn't signed by CSEA. You're going to have to impose on these people, okay? And I know classified have long memories, so consider that. Thank you.
Good evening, school board members, superintendent, cabinet, guests, and my CSEA 91 brothers and sisters. Hello, everyone. My name is Margaret Caldera, CSEA Hacienda La Puente 115 chapter president. I'm here to say that I'm very disappointed that West Covina Unified refuses to allow binding arbitration for CSEA 91, especially since West Covina teachers and other surrounding districts, including Hacienda, have it in their contracts. If West Covina Unified is complying with contract and laws, then you would not have nothing to fear. Stay committed to what you promised during your election campaign. Be honest, fair, and equitable. Mr. Menares, we know each other personally. I knew you when you were a student at La Puente High School. and we have worked together on some issues. I have known you to be fair, so I don't know why you, as a sitting board member, would allow this to go to mediation. CSCA was supportive with you as a student, and CSCA has been supportive with you as an administrator, correct? This is due to mutual communication and respect. The same needs to happen here at West Covina. I personally know you are a fighter. You have overcome challenges and obstacles. I ask that you use that strength to make positive changes here in West Covina. Build communication and respect with CSCA 91. Reach out to them. Let them know you value CSCA as co-educators of students, that you represent, of the students that you represent. Tomorrow, CSCA Hacienda La Puente Chapter 115 will have our chapter meeting, and I will make sure to let our 900 CSCA members know that West Covina Unified School District refuses to settle negotiations with CSCA 91 over binding arbitration, which means West Covina is refusing to put their word on agreements. CSCA Hacienda La Puente Chapter 115 will continue to support CSCA 91 now and always. Thank you.
I'm a parent of a student at Merced Elementary School, and I'm here to represent some of the parents of a teacher, Mrs. Anderson. She's a third grade teacher at Merced Elementary. Just to let you know, I've spoke with Mr. Seaman a couple of times already. I've also talked to Mrs. Casado. This teacher has proven to teach by intimidation. She has kids in her school, in her class, that are so fearful of her, and one of them is my child. I can only speak to what I've observed or what my child has shared with me. In the beginning of the school year, I mean, it started as soon as the open house when we went and met her. Her presentation was pretty much, I don't follow everybody else's rules. I don't do what other teachers do. I do things the way I want to do them. And she's proven that. The first thing that came out was I have guardianship of my great niece and nephew, and they both go to that school. I had guardianship of their brother, who's 20 years old now. So I've been dealing with this school for 10 years, and Mr. Fitzer, who was a blessing to me. I've never had a problem, issue with any teacher there. When I addressed her a couple of times and asked her how he was doing, her response was, oh, fine, I never have problems with any of my students. Well, now I know why. They're all scared to death of her. My child takes snacks to school. This is something, he's got an IEP, he's got issues. We set up a snack since kindergarten just to kind of avoid some issues that he was having. Her thing was, he was so fearful. If I gave him a snack, it was peanut butter cookies. I can't. She'll get mad. I have to take fruit. I mean, so fearful, like shaking practically. I'm like, what is wrong with you? No, she'll take 5 minutes away from me. She's excessive on taking recess away. Okay, you've got a student with ADHD, and you take recess away from him. You're going to suffer for it at the end of the day, and so is he. You know, I'm refuse to put up with this. I've expressed my feelings to Mr. Seaman. I've talked to Mr. Casado, who is the interim principal. I spoke with Mr. Fitzer 2 or 3 times a week practically, you know, for the last 3-4 years. You know, he, like I said, he did so much for me. I can't even tell you. The thing with my student, I can only speak to the things that have happened with him. I know there's a couple other parents here. There's some parents that wanted to be here that couldn't make it. My child told me that she was grabbing him by the arm, and sometimes it hurt him. She has no business touching my child. She's not certified to do a hold on him. She's lucky that I didn't go to the school and talk to her. I took the correct route. I went to the principal. I went to special education director, and I went to Mr. Seaman. Then I found out she was also whispering in his ear. And I asked him, well, what was she saying? He gave me one example. He asked if they were going to take the computers home. And she said, no, and don't ask me again. And I said, well, how did she say it? He goes, well, when she said it, she scared me. Okay, the first thing that comes to mind is you're at a store or something with your kid, and you're like, if you don't stop, you know, you're going to get it when you get home. She has no right talking to my child like that. And if it scared him, it was done with intimidation. And that's what she does with her class, her students. You know, I know there's an investigation going on. I talked to Mr. Seaman again today about it. But I'm here to ask, who's protecting the kids? While the investigation is going on, why can't an interim teacher be put in there? It's getting out of hand now. It really is. She's not following the IEP. That's why I had to talk to Mrs. Casado today. That is a law-abiding contract. She has to follow that. I called my lawyer today to get her involved in it. She was there when they put the IEP together. I don't want to go this route, but I don't see anything happening or changing. And she's basically doing what she wants to do. And it is, it's borderline mental abuse with these kids. These kids are so fearful of her. And a child should not have to go to school and be fearful of their teacher. My child just got diagnosed not too long ago with a medical condition. I called Mr. Fitzer. I had talked to him the Thursday before he passed away to let him know what was going on. He talked to her. My child refused to ask her to go, to tell her that he needed to go to the bathroom. And that was the condition. And I explained to him, as much as I tried to explain to him, no, I talked to your teacher. She's not going to get mad. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She will get mad. He was so fearful. And I know I'm not the only one that's experienced this with my child. There's a couple of other parents here also. I don't know if you guys want to address your issues. But these are mine. But something needs to change, and it needs to change now, before something really happens. She does not belong in an elementary school environment. Let her go to a high school. They're not going to be intimidated by her. But she does not belong with young students.
As you know, we don't enter into a dialogue during this time, but you are actively working with Mr. Seaman, and that I can guarantee you that it is being looked into. Is there somebody who will call the parents, or how can they move forward to know that?
That's what I asked him. I said, I'm not getting any feedback, and he says, well, I understand there's certain things you can't share. I do understand that.
And it's personnel issue. Makes it difficult.
I understand that.
No,
but I don't see anything changing. He just had an incident on Thursday. So I don't see anything changing. Today he got sent to the fence because when he was standing in line, he was going like this with his finger, and he wasn't standing still. You know, I mean, they're ridiculous things like that. And that's why she plain out tells you, oh, I never have problems with my students, because they're scared to death of her. Would you want to send your child to school every day?
So, President Polis, let me just share that I am not in a position to discuss this issue at any level. It's a personnel issue. It's a confidential issue, except to say that I will have Mr. Seaman continue to work with Mr. Casado at the site. I can only assure the public that we do provide a safe and secure learning environment, and if ever that rises to the level of going beyond that environment, we would act on a personnel issue. Obviously, there's investigations that do go on. I can't even state whether that's in fact going on because it's a personnel issue and a confidential issue. So, and there is actually, we're trading on a very fine line here anyway about public comment about an employee. So I would just ask that you do continue to meet with Mr. Seaman. The board is very aware of what you stated this evening. I am very aware of what you stated this evening. And we will try to work directly with each individual parent regarding their particular child situation rather than as a, we can't respond to a group as a whole, except to say that Mr. Seaman will be back in contact with you directly.
Okay, in that case, why can't you have another teacher in there that can redirect her when she's doing something wrong?
I can't, again, I can't go back and forth on this except just to tell you it's a personnel issue, is a confidential issue.
Okay, so
nobody would want their
keeping her job and her personal issues are more important than the safety of our children and the our children being comfortable going to school every day.
We're going to take a break so you can, because we have to be careful when it's a personnel issue. And maybe you can meet quickly with the superintendent so he knows exactly what your issues are, and we're going to reconvene in 5 minutes because we want to be careful. And believe me, I hear you. And since it's a a special ed, I want you to know that we're trying to get a group of special education parents together, just like I said before. And there should be a special ed liaison at every school, a parent liaison. And this is a great time where you guys can be sharing that with at your school sites. And that should be at every school site, that this is a chance for parents to be able to get together. And hopefully Ms. Casado could tell you who your liaison is, and you can work through that.
Okay. So as we